How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green-Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green-Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Today on The Grave Talks, Hauntings in Binghamton, New York, a conversation with Empirical Paranormal. Empirical Paranormal has been investigating the paranormal in the southern tier of New York for over two decades. They've uncovered compelling evidence of apparitions, phantom scents, and unexplained sounds in historic locations like the Phelps Mansion, the Budney Museum, and the Kilmer Mansion. From witnessing a never-wound clock randomly chiming at all hours to capturing eerie EVP recordings, Empirical Paranormal combines cutting-edge technology with empathetic and intuitive methods to gather proof of spirit activity. We'll delve into their investigative process, the stories that have haunted them for years, and the fascinating findings that continue to challenge what we think we know about the spirit world. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about hauntings in Binghamton with Gina Caprari, Amos Galaro, and Dominic Caprari of Empirical Paranormal. Well, I do want to say thank you, Gina Caprari, and I hope I said that correctly. Did I come close?
You came close. It's Caprari.
Caprari. Yes. Dang it, I try hard. So Gina, you're with Empirical Paranormal. Amy Scalero, thank you for joining us. You're also Empirical Paranormal. And maybe I can say it better this time. Dominic Caprari.
Howdy.
All three of you. Gina and Dominic, you two have the same last name. You're related.
Dominic's my son.
So now I know where Dominic got this interest in the paranormal from his mother.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, Empirical Paranormal, you are based out of New York. You're really close to Pennsylvania in Binghamton, New York.
Yes.
And the team started 21 years ago.
20 years ago.
20 years yeah. ago.
Well, 21. It's
21 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were any of you there at the beginning?
No.
And do you have any members who've been there the whole time?
No. I've been the longest out of the whole team. I've been on the team since 2015.
Which is a long time.
Yes.
And since you've been around the longest, Gina, I'm going to start with you. So There's a reason you got interested in the paranormal. Is that something that's just kind of been around your whole life? Was there something that happened at some point that got you interested?
Yes. When I was a little girl, I was talking to my deceased grandfather, and my mother was asked me, who are you speaking to? And I said, the man. And she goes, what man? And she goes, what does he look like? And I described what he looked like. And then she pulled a picture out of my grandfather, and I pointed to him in the picture, and I said, that's him. And then throughout my life, I've had many different experiences as I've gotten older. So that got me really interested in the paranormal.
Did you know about the team? Had you done investigations before, or just kind of dabbled in it a little bit?
Before I joined the team, I was doing my own investigating. Back then, we didn't have the technology we have now, so I would take a cassette player with a cassette tape and set it up. And then I would listen to it the next morning while I was having my coffee.
Did you pick up stuff that way?
Yes.
See, it's interesting because there is a lot of advances in technology when it comes to paranormal investigations. But a lot of times, you know, some of your best tools are your ears, your recorder, a camera, your phone. You know, mm-hmm. You can pick up a lot that way.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, yes, indeed. We've actually had some audible voices. So
then you found this team and joined up with them.
Yes.
And then you drug Dominic along with you, or Dominic, did you go willingly?
I was definitely shanghaied into it. I had a lot of paranormal experiences from a young age. When it came to joining the team, they really just needed me for tech support one Sunday. And I kind of just begrudgingly did it. And next thing I know, I'm being invited along on an investigation. And I liked it so much, I just never really wanted to stop doing it. It was like a flame got ignited in me. And having experienced paranormal stuff as far back as, like, gosh, I would say like some of my first memories.
That's interesting. So maybe that's a generational thing you got from your mother.
I would think so, because yeah. I've definitely inherited like some of her gifts and a lot of her like ambition and desire and stuff. So I would imagine that, yeah, it definitely transitioned over to me.
What kind of experiences did you have as a kid?
So this is crazy, because one of my earliest formative memories that I have is laying in my crib in an apartment we lived in, and I woke up to this like cartoon looking cow kind of like floating through the bottom of my crib up above me, just kind of hovering above me. And it just sort of stared at me for a little bit. And it just sort of disappeared, and I could still see it in my like my mind's eye now, just like this very like pudgy little cow looking thing just hovering above me. And I remember my toys would go off randomly, like any toys that had like audio to them. I would remember they would go off sometimes in the middle of the night by themselves. And I always felt like I wasn't alone in that place. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wasn't, because my mom was always home when I was a baby. But even if I was like in my own space,
there's a difference.
I would feel like there was always somebody there.
Yeah,
with me.
It's a different feeling.
It is. And that's a feeling that's kind of stayed with me my whole life. Like, there would be times in different houses we've lived in. There was one place where there was an attic that had like a partially refurbished place, and that was where I hung out a lot. I had like all my stuff up there, and I would feel like I was being watched from the other side of the attic a lot, to the point of having to turn on the lights on the other side of the attic, because it was getting to the point where it was like actually scaring me.
So, Gina, do you think that you just owned or rented haunted locations to live in, or was it kind of something, do you think, that kind of has followed you and Dominic?
Well, I think it's because we both have abilities, mm-hmm. and plus, you know, it seems like we're like a beacon for spirits. It seems like wherever we live, we kind of have something. You know,
see,
in our house,
I agree with that beacon idea, because I think some people truly are.
Yes.
Now, Amy, you are one of the investigators, and you've been with the team for a couple years. What got you interested in joining the team?
Well, just like Dominic, I some of my earliest memories from childhood were hauntings at my family home that I grew up in. The first thing I remember at all was like little white beings like coming into my room and taking the covers off my bed, like when I was sleeping. And then I had I laugh about it now, but it was terrifying when I was a kid. It was like a stereotypical closet monster, you know, like, oh, there's something in the closet. Well, there was something in my closet, and it was this big, tall, like kind of faceless being that I would like look up from reading a book or something, and I would see it standing there looking at me. I used to call him Bristlehead. I don't know where I came up with that name, but you know, I was really young at the time. I think it was because his hair was spiky.
Yeah.
And then I used to go call my mom. I used to yell up the stairs like at the night, like, "Mom, come down." And she, you know, she'd come down and get into bed with me for like a while to kind of like, you know, keep things at bay, but then you know, just come back again.
I'm really sorry that happened to you as a kid, because
it was pretty terrifying.
The
closet thing. I have anxiety now. So.
Yeah. Do you have my sister and I? She hosts on our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online. Her and I were always talking about these closet stories because there's so many.
Like, so, right, and then it's like real, like, you know, you think it's just on TV or like whatever, but I didn't even. My parents didn't expose me to any type of TV or anything like that that I would have got any of that from. But the closet seems to be a problem area in a lot of houses.
A lot of houses. Do you have, like, because her and I are both really anal about the closet door when we go to bed.
Oh.
I can't have it wide open. It's like, Dominic, you're the same.
Yeah, funny enough, I'm actually sitting in my closet right now to get better audio. So, like, this is kind of freaky. But yeah, I have to have my closet door closed. It cannot be open. I can't sleep if it's open.
When I first decided to do some podcasting and stuff from home, I thought, you know, maybe if I set it up in a closet, the acoustics will be better. I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit in there. So,
the
hats off.
The monster's in there. It's going to get you.
But I just can't fall asleep. And, like, my bedroom door can only be open a very small. I'd rather have it shut all the way, but I have cats and they'll come in and out. And so it doesn't matter I want.
For me, I've become desensitized to it. Now, if a closet door is opening in the middle of the night, it's a cat doing it, not Bristlehead. So
see, that's
luckily
what
he's gone away.
I think a lot of people should get cats if they suspect paranormal activities, because then all you have to do is say it was a cat.
Yeah.
It was a cat, and therefore I don't have to worry and lay in bed all night.
My cats don't come into my bedroom, though, so if my closet door opens, I'm in trouble.
You are in trouble.
Yeah,
it could
like,
be
even though
Bristlehead.
Right. And even though we investigate, like, I don't want the house that I'm living in, I don't care for that to be haunted. I prefer to it to not.
No, I'm with you,
haunted. Amy. Because I just like a break, you know?
Yes.
I don't want to be... Like Gina and Dom, like they'll even run equipment like in their house and stuff because their current apartment is haunted, but mine isn't. So like I barely even like test my equipment or anything at my house that's going to attract anything here. I'm careful. I'm like pretty careful about it because it's just not something I want to deal with when I'm not out in the field.
Yeah.
So
now Gina, when the group gets together to go out to do investigations, you know, I'm assuming there's times where it's kind of entertainment for you guys and excitement. Let's go to a new location. Do you also get calls from people in the area that are wondering if their house might be haunted?
Yes. Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, we're part of Tapp's family, and we also have calls from them as well.
And when you go out to a location, and I have talked to other groups about this before, because you really do have to kind of vet the family a little bit and know what you're kind of walking into as far as family dynamics and things. How extensive do you investigate before you go into a private home?
I ask a lot of questions, you know, if there's any anybody that is taking medications or, you know, have any like disabilities or anything like that. Or I just ask like a lot of questions about the haunting itself also. So
have you now, not with, I don't want you to give anything away because these are private investigations and I'm not, you know, no names, no addresses, anything like that.
Right.
But have you encountered some things that kind of surprised you in one of those investigations?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody laughs. I need to hear this. Can you share anything with us?
We could say, like, we've gone into homes where there's been mold on the walls, just really run down.
Mouse house.
What's that?
The mouse house.
I can't with that.
Mice and all kinds of stuff going on. So
very fog in the hallways.
Now, I would think with a lot of the locations, sometimes, you know, when, because I've talked to a lot of different people, some locations have been abandoned for a long time. Some have leaky roofs. So I would imagine as investigators, you run into mice and you run into mold. I can't handle mice myself and the dark. But it's a lot
for
me.
I would take a mice over a rat. I can tell you that much.
Okay, same. Can't handle that one either. But but are these homes that people are living in? Because that could dictate some, especially with mold and stuff, can cause so many problems.
Exactly. It could cause hallucinating. It could cause a lot of medical problems. It could cause all kinds of stuff.
And when you when you do go into a location and you do pick up on some activity, do you have to present that in such a way? Because you also don't want to terrify the family.
Right. We're there to help them. We don't go in there thinking everything's paranormal. So we debunk a lot. So like say if a door shut, so we look at a door to see if it's in the doorway the correct way, or if the floor might be angled at a certain way that the door is shutting, or if there's a draft or things like that. So we try to make the family at ease and let them know that it's, you know, nothing bad or anything harmful, you know. So we don't go in there thinking everything's demons and all that. We're not all about that. We go in there and we want to help these people. So we do the right thing.
And don't you think that a lot of times, you know, they might have activity in their house, but a lot of times people's energy, you know, they can feed off of that. So if you have a very angry home environment or it's very dysfunctional,
Dominic can answer that one.
Don't tell me he grew up like that.
Really, but he had a poltergeist.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes.
Where you were living, you had one?
Yeah, when I was a teenager, the house I went through high school in, pretty much, and some of my, like, late teenage years, I got really depressed in my junior year of high school. I had a lot of social stuff going on, and I wasn't really sure if I wanted to really do what I wanted to go to college for. And I wasn't really in the habit of talking about my problems back then. You know, just felt like I didn't want to burden people with it. So I kept a lot of it in. And I started noticing in the middle of the night that I would hear like weird noises in my room. I would see like shadows moving about on the ceiling of my bedroom and kind of like slithering around. And I would just feel like I would go to bed and I wouldn't be rested. Like I would, if I even slept the next day, I would just feel worse than I did the night before. And one morning it all culminated to me being awoke at like 7:30 in the morning to this porcelain lamp I had up on my dresser being slammed down on the nightstand right next to my head, and my own voice in my ear yelling, "I hate you." And like that lamp shattered. Like it was like somebody had picked it up and with all of their might had just slammed it down on that nightstand. And that lamp had been up there for years. There was no real reason for it to fall. Before we left the house, I cleansed it because we ended up moving out of there in 2011 and I graduated in 2008. And I dealt with it for a couple of years, even after I got out of high school. And it was just always sort of like one of those, it was always that feeling like I'm watching you. I'm waiting for you to slip up again so I can start feeding off of you again. Like it was just one of those weird, awful things. It just made me feel so bad. And it made me think a lot of terrible things. Like I had a lot of bad thoughts going through my head at the time. It wasn't a very good time in my life.
I hate that you went through that. Because that's so much. And you know, it's hard enough to be that age anyway. And then when you're dealing with something like that on top of it, and who do you talk to about it?
You know? Yeah, because at that point I was like, oh man, if I bring up any of this, people are just going to think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's all in your head.
Yeah.
And then you question it. Is it all in my head? Am I crazy? Is this happening? It's just a lot to deal with.
Yep, that's exactly what did go through my head. It's like, I can't, like, I had to imagine this. Like, maybe that lamp just, maybe I tugged the cord in my sleep or something, but why did it shatter like that? Like, it was so confusing. And I don't think that helped because, like, the big thing that poltergeists tend to do is they use their source as a energy siphon. And so they'll do whatever they can to keep their target in a state of disarray so that way they can continue to feed off of the negative emotions and fueled themselves mm-hmm. so they can do bigger and stronger things.
And when you left that house, were you able to leave that behind?
Or yeah, move I salted all the walls in the room so that way it couldn't leave. I left it to die there, basically.
Good. You know, and it's interesting to me that you do what you're doing now with the team, because I could also see why you would run far away from anything like that. Then I also see why you would be drawn to it.
I have a lot of empathy. I care a lot about people, and I really don't like to see people suffer by any means. And going through all that really helped me sort of understand that, like, even just mental and emotional well-being is very important as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can relate to somebody who's gone through something similar to you, or even just offer some sort of solace, even if they're just going through a hard time and it's not paranormal related, it can really help ease a lot of that tension in a household.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the times, especially with adolescents and teenagers and maybe even just like adults that haven't really had that outlet, giving them ways to not just cope, but to also like heal and to let go and to let them know that they're not alone in the world will a lot of the times alleviate a poltergeist. It'll alleviate a lot of their problems before a poltergeist can form. And we've been in houses and cases before where they've been on the brink of forming, or like, you know, they're starting to be drained by their own problems, by the energy in the air. You know, there's a bad air in the house. And we get to them before it gets to the point that mine got to. And it was really rewarding to know that I have an outlet to do that. And even to this day. Even to this day, like, I try to help people wherever I can in the paranormal realm and outside of it because of that experience. It really helped me be a more humble and more aware person.
I don't think people realize how their own energy and their own mental health can affect the paranormal around them and how it all kind of feeds off of it. Now, Amy, you help find locations.
Yeah.
And so I actually came upon Empirical Paranormal because I was digging around online like I do, because I'm always looking for haunted locations and things to talk about on the show. And I came across the Phelps Mansion and Museum.
I can't take credit for that one.
But
that one's been in play for a long time. But
I also then came across the Bundy Museum. Then mm-hmm. it came across, is it the
Kilmer Mansion?
Kilmer Mansion. Then I decided the area you live in is just haunted.
It is. It just is. It's I don't know if it's the age of the buildings, or you know, the happenings in the town, or exactly like what fuels it. But we do have a very haunted area, and we're always looking for new places. Like we've added a place nearby this year called the 1890s house. We've been there before, but we're going to be going back there for, the first time in a little while. So like, we're going to go do that like 3 times this year. We've been hitting up a lot of the historical societies that are also museums. So we've had an influx of those over the past couple years, like places that have never been investigated. We love that because, you know, anyone can pay to go to a haunted location that's like a famous place, you know, where they charge teams, you know, money to come in. And those are fine. And like, we'll go do those too. But it's really rewarding to go to a place that maybe has never been investigated before. And they're just, you know, coming around to, you know, accepting that this may be happening at their location. There may be paranormal activity there, and also inviting, you know, us to come there and check it out. Like, that's amazing for us.
So how do you just kind of start asking around for locations?
Yeah, I just cold call or email or whatever I got to do. You know, we also follow up on leads that, you know, we meet people in the community all the time at some of the events we do are not just investigations. We also have, like, you know, we set up tables at local fairs, festivals, psychic fairs, you know, things like that. And we meet a lot of people that way too. So we're always, you know, trying to work on our reputation is really important to us. You know, being able to investigate at the Phelps and the Kilmer and, you know, the Bundy, places like that, that's really a privilege. So we take it really seriously when we, you know, are invited to go to those places. And yeah, we try to use, you know, what we've done to, you know, bolster our reputation. And, you know, people are really getting to know who we are now, and it's really exciting.
Do you have a place that you have investigated that you particularly loved, that you found, and it was like, yes, this is why I do what I do?
Honestly, the Phelps, like the Phelps Mansion is my favorite place out of the places that we go to regularly. And a couple weeks ago when we were there, we had one of the best experiences that I had there that was really, really, really interesting. So, and out of the realm of what I consider to be like, you know, an average haunting, it really took off for us a couple weeks ago when we were there. So right now I can't wait to go back there.
Now, I did dig into a little bit of the history of the Phelps Mansion, and I never know for sure if what I read is correct. So I try to go to different sources, but the house itself is just fantastic looking. Like, I would love to go in it.
You need to go. You need to make a trip here to go to it. It's really something.
So it was built in 1870,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Phelps was one of the first mayors of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, this is what I read anyway, the family moved into the brand new home in 1871, and by 1882, every family member living there had passed away.
Yeah. Really quick.
What happened? Was there an outbreak of something at the time? Or no, was it just horrible?
They all died of different things. Gina, do you remember?
One passed away, I believe, from tuberculosis, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Another one died from a bad heart. I can't remember. One, there was another one from a different illness.
Spinal meningitis.
Yeah, spinal meningitis. Yep.
The reports, anyway, of quite a bit of paranormal activity there. Have you felt that when you go there, Gina?
Oh, yes. Yes. As soon as you walk in, you could feel it. I actually, when I go in, I'll talk to them and announce that we are there, you know. And you could just feel it when you walk in.
And without a doubt, I'm going to guess, Dominic, you feel it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That place is like, that place has such a unique energy to it, because we've been there so many times now that I think the family kind of thinks of us as like all his like friends at this point. So there's always like a very interesting
familiar
energy there. And it feels great.
It was after by 1882, and this, it's just so sad. But did then the house go on to have other families live in it? Did it sit empty for a time? Or because it looks like it's in good shape.
Yeah, there was another family that lived there for a little while called the Truman family. And then they sold it, and it sat empty for many, many years. And then an organization called the Monday Afternoon Club, it's an organization of women, they bought the building. They owned it up to, I would say in the 2000s, late 2000s, early 2000s. And then they closed that out and they made a museum out of it.
One thing, when you do your investigations, is that also a way to help them raise money?
Yes.
I think that's
so important.
Yes, all the
proceeds goes back to them to help preserve the building.
And my guess is you sell all of these out. I can't imagine.
Yeah, most of the time we do.
Yeah. Because it's so incredible. You just want to go in there and look around. But I've read that it has... that they've said there's some, and in fact, I saw it on your Facebook page that there's a clock. And tell me about that video. I think that was you, Gina. It kind of sounded like your voice.
Yeah, it was. we were actually September? I think it was. We were at the Phelps Mansion for an event, a psychic fair. And we had a table there. And in the past, the clock has chimed every now and then. And the workers there have heard it. The clock, it's very old. It's as old as the house is. It's never worked. It's never been wound up. And occasionally it'll ring. It'll chime. Well, while we were there at the event, a couple of the workers, Amanda and I believe it was Joe, were in the mansion at the time, and they heard the clock chime, and they came running out to tell us. So, of course, we grabbed our phones and whatever we could and ran right in there, and we actually caught it on our camera chiming.
It was sweet because you were so excited and you're like, I'm going to sit here all day long and hope it happens again.
For hours, we sit in the dark, you know, there and, you know, ask for things to happen. And we ask about that clock like all the time to, you know, to not have it happen. So when it happened, it was like Christmas for us.
And I mean, let's be real. How could that even happen? It shouldn't be chiming.
It's totally broken, that clock. So we don't know.
Somehow it manipulated it. So
that's so interesting. Have you got other activity in there or seen any apparitions or anything?
Yes. While we were doing a public investigation, it was back in 2021, I believe. 22, maybe.
I think it was
22. 22, yeah. There was one of our guests that went to use the restroom, and she was walking back into the mansion from the ballroom, and she saw an apparition, a man with a top hat and a suit. And at the same time, he disappeared, and the door between the ballroom and the mansion slammed.
Ooh.
And a few seconds later, the attic door upstairs was ajar, and that slammed. So that was crazy. That was really crazy that night. And we were just in awe. And of course, we went and tried to debunk it. And we could not debunk it. And the girl that saw the apparition was upset. It scared her.
I get that. I think that would have scared me, especially with those exclamation points on the end of that. Doors slamming.
Yep.
It's like,
those are like heavy oak doors, too. Like, they're solid. They don't move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're very big and very thick and heavy.
And it wouldn't even be like a breeze.
Would take some force to move those doors.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about the hauntings of Binghamton, New York, with Gina Caprari, Amy Scolaro, and Dominic Caprari of Empirical Paranormal. For more information, you can find them on Facebook, YouTube, or go to their website, empiricalparanormal.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything without commercials, then you could become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.